Welcome to the Deep Sexy Play podcast. I'm your host, EJ Love, and this is my uncensored space designed to stimulate your mind and give you full permission to explore your curiosities and express your deepest sexual desires. Thanks for tuning in. Now let's get turned on. What I'm going to be talking about today is essentially the mother wound for men, and how it massively impacts their relationships with women. And I have seen this time and time and time again. Like, I have worked with men in the realms of intimacy, relationships, and sexuality since 2010. And so many of their problems stem from their relationship with their mother. I cannot tell you how big this is. This is huge. This is what I think is the core most missing and vital piece of men's work that men need to be doing. Like, I see there's so many men in men's work, right, that are doing amazing, incredible work, yet their relationships with women and their sexuality seem to keep repeating these patterns. They seem to keep playing things out. Things keep happening. They keep coming up against these problems. And what I continue to say, and will speak again and again about this, it comes back to the relationship with the mother. So my intention for sharing this is to guide you through the things that I've seen, the patterns, where it comes from. So we're going to look at the behaviors, like what are the mother behaviors that men are displaying that come from the mother wound that are related. What are I've got the six different mother-son dynamics that are playing out in their relationships. So this is something that I discovered through working with clients, for male clients, and seeing these same things over and over and over and identifying these patterns. I'm going to talk about, this is really interesting, this is really fascinating, how unhealed mother wound impacts men's intimacy and can actually be a cause of premature ejaculation, erectile dysfunction, and how, and this is the fascinating part, how it can actually create kinks and fantasies that men have that actually can then lead to addictions like porn addiction, for example. So this is going to be super interesting. Another thing I'm going to speak to is the unconscious loyalty that men feel towards their mothers that creates blocks to receiving love and having intimacy. There's a lot of men out there that have no idea they're actually unavailable for the intimacy and love that they want because they're still unconsciously being loyal to their mothers. Yeah, so there's no space for a woman in their life. Yeah, even though they want it, there's no space for it because they're still tied there. Yeah, and really what this all stems from is a vital piece of men's initiation that is actually missing in most men's work that will actually heal this mother wound. And so that is the psychological separation from the mother. And I'm going to talk about that towards the end because I really think that there's a piece for women in this to be able to support men. Yeah, and this is essentially some of the work we're doing at Conscious Sexuality Trainings. It's helping men go through the separation and to supporting women to help them go through the separation, which is really the work that I've been doing with men probably for 8 to 10 years. Yeah. So my intention is really that you're going to get a lot of ahas, a lot of truth bombs, that you're going to see a lot of things you're like, oh my God, this is why this all makes sense. And there are just not many, I was going to say nobody's talking about this, but it's not reality. There's definitely people talking about this out there, but they're very minimally, yeah? And there's things that I've seen that I haven't heard anyone talk about. And so this is, and also experienced. So there's a lot of passion and fire for this from me. And one of the reasons is because I've also experienced this in relationship with men. I've experienced the impacts. I've experienced being on the other side when a man is being impacted by an unhealed mother wound, and I've had the mother projected onto me, and I've also been a part of that as well. I've had my own stuff that's come up and running a caretaker role, needing to be in control, stuff that's then played out in that codependent dynamic. So what I really think though is that when men go through healing their mother wound, it will drastically transform their relationships with women. If you are having struggles in relationships with women, please go and have a look at your relationship with your mother. And what I'm about to share is going to help you identify what might be playing out there unconsciously that you are not even aware of and you might get to see. So, ladies, I encourage you to share this with the men in your lives. And men, please, like, I'd love to hear how this lands for you, what resonates. Like with everything that I share, take what resonates for you and leave the rest behind. So, all right, so I want to start by sharing about the behavior. So what are some of the behaviors? And I'm sure a lot of women are going to go, oh, I recognize this in the men that I've been with or in my partner. And men, you're probably going to recognize these behaviors in yourself. So let me know what lands for you. And also I'd love to hear, you know, comment below, like if you're resonating and you can give me some emojis or some hearts, and just so I know that, you know, that it's landing for you. Okay, so one of the biggest behaviors is that men are still trying to please their mother through pleasing a woman. There is a big epidemic of men pleasing women, yeah, and often men that have been conditioned to be nice guys to make sure they're good little boys that please their mummy, yeah, and this is still unconsciously playing out. Some men will pedestal women, and they're still trying to gain their mother's approval and live up to her expectations. Often men, they won't trust themselves, and therefore their partner doesn't trust them or feel safe with them. And it may be why the partner then starts going into control. So what's missing is that when men go through their initiation from 14 to 17 years old, which we don't have in our Western society, is that part of that is they actually separate from the mother psychologically, and they discover who their core self is and how to trust themselves. That is not happening, right? This is the problem, is they are not learning how to actually really fully trust themselves and still outsourcing their decisions and their authority and their trust to other people, particularly a partner or woman. Yeah, so they don't fully trust who they are or fully don't know who their core self is, so they're outsourcing that, and this is when they're becoming codependent. So they also will become passive, yeah, so not able to make choices for themselves, not able to say what they really want, yeah, not able to fully make decisions for themselves, and they will often give their authority away to their partner and have her be making the decisions and taking the lead, yeah, so they can become more passive. Avoiding conflict, yeah, so they don't want to rock the boat, don't want to get in trouble, don't want to upset the woman, don't want to risk her emotions, her emotional response. And depending on how their mother was in childhood, the mother might have not been that emotional, might have been shut down, or might have been really reactive. Like, they will tend to mold themselves or adapt themselves to make sure that they can keep their partner, keep the woman happy, keep them, keep them calm, essentially. Unfortunately, what happens, it usually backfires, and a man perhaps not able to speak up for himself, not having healthy boundaries, is eventually a woman's not going to trust that, and it is going to impact her level of safety, and then the safety is going to create emotional impact. Yes, it's always going to be emotional impact. There's a sense for a man that he needs to know that he's done a good job, that he needs to know that he's validated, that he's enough, and he's outsourcing that to women. Men will struggle to speak their needs. In childhood, their needs may not have been welcomed, their needs may not have been important, their needs may not have been deemed as safe. Their mother may have made her needs more important and his needs not important. So again, he plays that out. Well, her needs are important, mine aren't important. Or maybe he asked for what he needed and he got in trouble. Yeah, there was something unsafe that happened around asking for what I need. And So then a man learns to not ask for what he needs, and but to care more about other people's needs than his own. Yeah, so often there'll be a lack of boundaries or no boundaries. Yeah, so again, it's like this unsafety around having boundaries. There's been no modeling for boundaries. Some mothers can get really enmeshed with their sons, especially if there's no father figure or the father figure is not healthy. So they enmeshed with their sons and become codependent with their sons, and then becomes like a surrogate partner. And then what happens is there's no boundaries. There's like a lack of boundaries. And then so this is where men can end up being really codependent. This is where they can end up jumping from relationship to relationship to relationship, because they're still enmeshed with their mother and they're playing that out in their relationships. And they actually do not know how to be on their own. They're terrified to be on their own. Yeah, so I've had a pattern in my life, which comes from my childhood wounding, of attracting men that can't be on their own, that jump from relationship to relationship to relationship. And I can see this in the mother wound. I can see that this is played out because they're terrified. And these are men, some of these men have been in their 40s and 50s, right? That are still experience this unhealed mother wound that is creating conflict and tension and lack of intimacy and lack of desire and lack of respect and all these things in a relationship, and that is all coming back down to this mother wound, right? So deep down, these men are afraid of abandonment. They're afraid of that they will lose their mother. They're afraid of the loss that they'll have to experience if they actually were to separate, go through the psychological separation. And these men will also often struggle to speak how they truly feel. And so actually in my last relationship, now that I'm out of it, I reflected and I was like, there were things that were shared with me towards the end of the relationship that I had no idea about. I was like, whoa, you're only telling me this like on the day that we're uncoupling. And I was like, wow, like, which says to me that for whatever reason, he couldn't speak how he was really feeling and what was really going on inside and didn't feel safe to for whatever reason. And you know, I did my best to try and create safety. I've worked in the field with men creating safety for many, many years. And I made an assumption that my partner, if something was up or something was wrong, if he was feeling sad, that he would tell me, because that's how I am, right? So I made this assumption and I thought he was getting the support that he needed at men's group. And then he'd tell me if something was up or something was bothering him or anything. And but I can see now, like if men in childhood, like it wasn't safe for them to speak up and speak how they feel or express their emotions, that they can still be playing these things out in their relationships with women. And of course, in our society, it's made much more acceptable for a woman to express how she's feeling and her emotions, and not a man. It can be perceived as weak. And so even there are men doing years of men's work that may still feel, that still have this unhealed mother wound and may still feel not safe to fully express themselves to their partner. Yeah. And for a little while there, I was a bit like, oh my God, you've done so much men's work and you're still, you're like, how can you not be like doing this? You know, how can you be acting like this? And the reality is, because of what I know from this mother and what I've seen in this mother wound, is like, this is why I'm passionate about this. Is the men's work that is missing. There are men doing years and years and years of men's work that are still playing out their problems with women, and it's because there's not this deep addressing of the mother wound. Yeah, and this is really important. And the reason why I think this is not in men's work, a lot of men's work, is because I think women, we have this beautiful gift to be actually able to help men heal this. Wouldn't recommend it if it's your partner. I would send your partner to someone to go and get go through this healing. But there's some beautiful things, and this is, we do it in our extended training. We're actually taking men through this, and women will be holding the mother role to be able to help them go through the separation. More on that later. I'll get back to that. So I want to just touch on like a common dynamic that I see between men and women when men are in this, playing out this wounding, is that first of all, the impact on a woman when when a man is playing this out is that she will lose respect for him. She won't trust him. She will start micromanaging. She'll be making more of the decisions. She might start nagging. She'll doubt his own decision. She might clean up after him. She might jump into like control, more caretaking, more control, more taking the lead. And she won't feel safe in that role. And she will then actually stop desiring him. She'll stop wanting to be intimate because the polarity is not there. The polarity and mainly the safety. So she'll feel tired and exhausted, and she might say things like, I just want him to take the lead and make the decisions. Why do I always have to be the responsible one? I feel like I have another child. These are like common things that we'll hear women say. And the woman also, if we look on the other side, because, you know, we do attract, right, is that often a woman that attracts a man who's acting like this is because she has probably conditioning to play the caretaker role in relationships. Yeah, so, and to be that, learn that it's safer to be in control. She's playing that out to some degree. So even though she's like resentful and I don't want that, there's a part of her that actually is, feels safer that way. Even though she thinks she'd feel safe, wants to, the other thing, thinks she'd feel safer, there's a part of the familiarity of like caretaking someone or being more in control that feels safe in a dynamic. Yeah, it's just not sexy. Yeah, it's going to kill your sex life, basically. And so a lot of these men in these dynamics will often feel like nothing I do is ever good enough. They may end up feeling like a little boy at times, feeling emasculated. And they might be afraid of how she's going to react. So they'll mold and adapt their behavior to be good, to be nice, to be pleasing, because they're afraid of like how it might impact her emotions. They will often take on a woman's emotions as their own. So I'm unconsciously taking responsibility for my partner's emotions, because this is probably what to some degree happened in childhood, or something that they couldn't fix, something that, you know, they couldn't say their mother was going through stuff and it was really emotional. They couldn't do anything about it. Now as an adult, they're like, okay, now I can take this on now. I can fix this for my mom, AKA partner, right? So they're trying to heal what they couldn't do. They're trying to do what they couldn't do to make sure their mom is okay, right? And so then they're replaying that out with the partner and playing those roles. So taking over responsibility for their partner's feelings, and this is where they stop having needs and boundaries. They stop speaking up for what they want because they're too focused on their partner and what their partner needs and wants, etc. And all of this can have them end up in push-pull dynamics, conflicts, and feeling like really suppressed and lost and disconnected and not really knowing who they are. Like, who am I? Yeah, so they may even go into displaying avoidant behavior, shutting down, because they're internally confused and overwhelmed and actually don't know how to deal with what's actually going on inside. On the outside, they may present like, I'm this lovely, nice guy and I adore my wife or my partner or this woman. But inside, they're feeling like confused, lost, overwhelmed, and maybe shut down, suppressed. Yeah. And they may have even associated their identity with being this woman's partner. Yeah, as long as I'm a good husband, a good man, then therefore I'm okay. Yeah, so it's kind of like that happy wife, happy life. But in that, there's a lot of giving power away, right, in that saying. So if you're resonating to this, please let me know. So here's the thing, is that the confusion that's often happening inside a man is actually the little boy trying to separate from his mother, because he didn't get the psychological separation, because he didn't get initiated properly as needs to happen. But he's afraid to feel a sense of loss, and he's afraid to upset his mother if he was to pull away. Yeah, and can feel guilty. Yeah, so he doesn't want to feel those feelings either. He doesn't want to feel loss, abandonment, guilt, doesn't want to feel that. Yeah, so there's all this confusion inside. I want to separate. I want to be my own man. I want to do this. But also, I can't do that because of what it might happen here. Yeah, so there's a real torn up inside. And One of the things that, like, the main reason that my former partner and I separated, because he had this feeling inside that he needed to be on his own. He needed to discover who he was outside of a relationship, because he'd been in a relationship, he'd been in a 25-year marriage, and when we met, he was in a trial separation. There was no time between me and his ex-wife. We basically just jumped in, and that was my lesson to learn as well. And then when we broke up, we did this beautiful conscious uncoupling, and he was like, I just know that I need, deep inside, I need to go and be on my own. And I was like, yeah, actually you do. And I, as hard as this is, as difficult and challenging, and, you know, I know that's your truth. You need to figure out who you are outside of being in a relationship. Yeah. And so because I loved him, I was like, I've set you free, you know, go be there. And I trust that if we are meant to be together, if we are for each other, that we will come back together, but we will come back from a much healthier place, and he could really be who he is. Yeah. And I wanted that for him. I really wanted that for him. And unfortunately, what happened is, not long after we split, he met someone else. And I was, of course, like, well, mother wound, codependency, mother wound, like, I could see it all, right? Like that. And obviously, yes, this is my projection. And also, I was with this man for 3 years, and I teach this stuff, right? And I've worked with men for 13 years, thousands of men. So I've seen, and I have a lot of awareness, and it's kind of annoying sometimes, because I'm like, oh, I wish I didn't see this. And also, I wish he could see it, you know? I wish, like, oh, how, and I was like, how can he not see what he's doing? And then I've always had just come back to myself and be like, okay, well, you know, how did I attract this, and where was I betraying myself, and all these things that were going on for me. And so the thing is, when a man does jump from a woman to woman, it's because they actually deep down feel terrified to be on their own and having to be with themselves, because they do not know who they are. And that is scary as fuck. That is so scary to be like, I don't know, I'm not safe if I'm not in a relationship. That's how it feels. I'm not upset. I might die if I'm not a woman, because I actually don't know who this is. So to some degree, I can have a lot of, like, compassion for this happening. And there's this part of me that's like, right, you know, what's going to happen is you're going to repeat the pattern, because that's what can happen is that men, until they do this deeper work on this wounding, they will just keep repeating the pattern after pattern after pattern after. It's the same dynamic. They'll end up feeling the same things, because they really haven't found their true selves outside of a woman, right? Because really outside of their mother, they haven't really discovered who they are as a man. They're still a little boy inside. They still feel like a little boy, even though they're in their maybe 40s, 50s, 60s and older. They can still feel that way. So essentially that, you know, that looking for their mother's love and approval to feel secure, and they're looking for that in another woman. Yeah, they're consistently looking for that. And they don't feel secure, and they don't feel loved, and they don't feel approved of unless they're getting that from someone. Something that started to happen in that relationship was when I started to get a lot of awareness around this, and I could see that playing out, I stopped doing things that were any kind of mothering or control. I started to step back. I could see these pieces. And when that started to happen, I could see there was like an impact on how loved he felt. And because I wasn't really showing up in those ways. And so in some degree, you know, men might complain about, I feel mothered by my partner. But there is a part of them that's creating that. Yeah, that is actually wanting that. That is actually like getting something from. There's a payoff from that they're getting. And often it's because I don't have to be responsible. I didn't have to be responsible as a kid. Maybe I don't even know what it is to be like a fully responsible man. Yeah, so I don't even know how, or it doesn't feel safe, whatever it is, right? So they're essentially codependent, right? Because they've never gone through that psychological separation from their mother, and they just keep projecting their mother onto their partner. And they yeah, as I said before, they can become, feel like little boys in their relationships and attract, are unconsciously attracting women who mother them. And then they feel controlled. And then here's the thing, they might start to feel controlled, right? And then they'll start to feel the confusion and stuff inside. But they're not also not standing up for themselves, speaking their needs, speaking their boundaries, like they're allowing themselves to be controlled. And she's going into control because she's not feeling safe because he's not speaking his needs, because he's not speaking his boundaries, because he's not making decisions, right? So it's this, yeah, really awful codependent dynamic. And then there's the avoidance of conflict, yeah? So because he's not speaking up and not speaking these things, so there's the things that are not being said, the things that are not being addressed, right? And that are under festering away, and eventually that will end up in a bigger conflict, or it will kill intimacy, it will create resentment, and you'll feel like you're, you know, just living really surfacely, like there's no spark, there's no desire, there's no chemistry, like there's, it's like there's no polarity essentially in that, right? So what happens is that when men start to feel, can start to feel controlled, some shadow behaviors will come out, right? So they are essentially, what they're doing is they're sabotaging to try and get a sense of freedom. And they'll start making their own decisions, but they'll do it secretly. Yeah, there'll be dishonesty, for example. There might be infidelity. They might be, you know, watching porn, going to strip clubs, seeing escorts, or entering a new relationship and like, sorry, leaving the relationship and entering a new one very quickly without having addressed the core wounding, not understanding that when a man is, so there were some things that happened in my relationship where there was some dishonesty, and I could see, I said, I think you're trying to gain your freedom by doing your sabotage, because also often men unconsciously want to get caught. I used to say, like, about my ex-partner, I'm like, you're actually not very good at hiding stuff. It's like you want to get caught. Because for some men, it's like, if she catches me and she still loves me, that's what I'm looking for. Like, I'm still looking for my mother's love, that I'm still a good boy, even though I misbehaved, even though I did something wrong. Yeah, so it's just, sometimes men will not hide things very well because on an unconscious level, they want to get caught to know that they're still loved, even though they've done something bad, essentially. So just something to reflect on. This also comes into play when watching things like porn, which I'm going to talk a bit later, and the certain type of porn that men watch, and also the kinks that they might have and how they actually might be unconsciously doing things or watching things because they're trying to heal their mother wound, but it's done in an unhealthy way. So one of the things, I just want to take a step back to what I was saying about, you know, men when they're feeling controlled and they start making sabotage a relationship to try and get freedom, and then they do these like shadow behaviors, is often what they're trying to do is, so this is the part of men's initiation journey that they're meant to go in teenage years, is they psychologically separate from the mother, get initiated by the men, and then to discover their sexuality, they go and explore with the maidens. Yeah, so what is happening here, if, you know, they've projected their mother onto their partner, right? Then they start to feel controlled, confused, suppressed. Oh, okay. And then they might start, oh, now I need to go find the maidens. Yeah, so this is where they might look for it in the strip clubs and the porn, infidelity, escorts, etc., because they're looking like, oh, I need to go and explore with the maidens, you know, because now, like their brain is like, this is my mother, and now I need to go explore with the maidens, right? And I'm not being loved and appreciated in the way that I want to be loved and appreciated. There's, you know, there may be a lot of resentment and disconnect in the relationship, or it's, you know, things are shut down. So what then happens is that let's say they find another woman, right? So they find, they're like, oh, here's the maiden now. She's all shiny and new, and she's like, oh, and all the oxytocin and the dopamine, and it's like, oh my God, like, this is amazing. It's all exciting and all the things. And, you know, maybe they've cheated and this is the new person, the new shiny person, or maybe they've left the relationship quickly and this is the new person and it's all feeling amazing. Here's the thing. Eventually, that maiden will become their mother and they will repeat the pattern. Yeah, because they haven't healed the underlying wounding, right? And sometimes, you know, it can turn into some form of addiction, like sex addiction. There can be sex addiction. And so, the internal core wound is still there. So they will continue to repeat the cycle in some way, or they will sabotage it. Yeah, they will sabotage it, and they will and not allow real intimacy in. This doesn't make men available for real intimacy. So until men heal this at the core, they will continue to feel mothered and controlled in their relationships to some degree. Yeah, or not free to really be themselves. Yeah. So I wanted to now talk about the six mother-son dynamics that I've seen through a number of my clients. And I feel like you will probably, men, you'll resonate to these, maybe a few of them, maybe just one of them. And so I just want to give you some examples. So the first one I call like the martyring mother and the hero son. So this is where the mother like pretty much did everything for her son. Maybe like just overly care took him, made him like really important, but did everything for him. And also perhaps like she was like, he was like her hero, you know, and, but she also martyred herself and he watched her martyr himself. Yeah. And he saw no one look after her. And so in some way he feels that he owes her. I watched my mom do everything for everyone. My mom's amazing. She's so loving and kind and supportive. She's always there for everyone, but she's martyring herself, right? And so on an unconscious level, he may feel like I now owe her and I should take care of her. Yeah, so one of my clients had this going on, and when we started working together and he was playing the rescuer and the caretaker in a lot of his relationships with women. He was continuing to look after women in a way, trying to look after his mum, trying to pay her back. And I said, you know, we looked at his purpose, and his purpose, he's like, I just want to retire my mum. My goal is so that I can help my mum retire. And then we looked at the underlying, where does this desire come from? And it wasn't really his truth, you know, it wasn't really what he wants for himself. It was his little boy inside trying to repay and look after his mum still. And he was a chronic overgiver in his relationships, yeah, and always felt like, you know, women were taking from him, and he was just, and so he also became the martyr, right? He actually became like his mum. He became a martyr for other people trying to look after other people. So that's the first one. The second one is the surrogate partner. So this is when a mother will actually make their son their surrogate partner. And this is often when the dad is not in the picture. The dad's left, the dad's passed away, the dad's unhealthy. And so she now relies on her son for emotional support. Yeah, and this little boy has now taken on something that a child should never have taken on. That they had to grow up fast. They might have not been allowed to be a child. And what's happened is that the mother has effectively married herself to her son. And there's a client that I worked with on this. And when we were on our first call, the words that dropped in were like, you need to divorce your mother. And so I actually created a divorce your mother ceremony. And it was really, really powerful. Now this man was struggling with what was happening. It for him was that he was always attracting women that had just come out of relationships. Yeah, and he would come in and be the caretaker, show them that men are different. Yeah, that he will be the one to show them that, and he would be their emotional support person, right? And then we looked at childhood, and I was like, what happened when in his childhood? It was like when his dad left, he became the emotional support person for his mum. And he was repeating that. And then these women would not stick around. They'd leave. Yeah, he would be their emotional support person and then they'd leave. Yeah, so he also had like, he also had some issues with erectile dysfunction. And we looked at how his erectile dysfunction was connected to this mother wound you, because often men that have intense mothers or smothering mothers can have these dysfunctions, right? So I'll talk about that a little bit later on, but I just wanted to touch on that. Anyway, after the work we did together, he was fine. He was great. He was having a great time. He was like messaging me about, oh my God, AJ, wow, like everything's working amazing. And I did do a lot of, I took him through some sexual healing work as well. And it was just amazing. It was just amazing, the change. And like, he was someone who also could never approach women. Like he was like, can't approach women, but I'm the emotional support guy. I'm the emotional support guy. And so what was really cool, he was like, oh, I'm now approaching women. I'm now like going up. I'm like, oh my, he's like, who am I? Who is this man? So that was really beautiful. We worked together for a few months, one-on-one. That thing also I want to add here is that what can happen when a man has been the surrogate partner for their mother, they often will have a love-hate relationship. Yeah, because she's essentially controlling him to get her needs met. But in that control, he feels loved and needed. He's like, and men, they can confuse control with love. There's an association with control with love. So when this person's being controlling, I'm being loved. This is love, yeah? And then the brain has been suddenly wired like that. So men who might end up with partners and without feeling they're being controlled might also simultaneously feel like, oh, I'm loved, yeah? And so that's why it can be so hard to tear away from that and to even know, like, why do I keep attracting women that appear controlling? Yeah, and I say appear controlling because there's a dynamic. We set people often to play out our patterns as well. So the behaviors they would be playing out would also be perhaps not making her feel safe, so then she goes into control as well. Yeah, so just something to be curious about is like, what perhaps have you associated with love and you've entwined them together? So we have to unwind and unwrap those two things and separate them and know that control is not love. And I really feel like there's definitely some, at least one ex-partner that I feel has this, and I could see it, and I was like, I can see this association, because as soon as I stopped going into control, I could feel the disconnect from him and him not feeling loved. And I was like, whoa, that's really interesting. But also the love-hate is like, but I also don't want to be controlled. Like, that's the love-hate, right? It's like, oh, but, you know, like, oh, but I love that you, the control, but I also hate it, right? Because I'm not free to be who I am, yeah? So this is, it's like a love and freedom piece. It's like fascinating. I find this stuff so interesting. And yeah, if it resonates for you, please let me know. Reach out. I'd love to hear what's landing. Okay, so next one is the best friend mother. Yeah, so I always have a good giggle to myself when a man's like, yeah, I've got a great relationship with my mum. She's my best friend. And I'm like, oh no. Oh no. It's not necessarily a good thing. So the best friend mother can also be a sign of codependency. Yeah, so it can be wrapped up in the surrogate mother. And what I saw in one of my clients is that he was still playing the little boy in his relationship with his partner and not really letting her in. Yeah, because he's still best friends with his mum. Yeah, and so it's almost like, until I actually am willing to separate, and it's not saying you can't be friends with your mum, I'm actually not going to really allow my partner in. Yeah, so it's almost like I can either have my best friend mother or I can have my partner, and there's a, and it can be an avoidance of intimacy, because if I let this woman in, as this partner in, then I'm going to not be able to have this connection with my mother. This can be what's happening. So there's a fear of letting go, because the fear of losing the mother, fear of losing the connection or the love of the mother if I fully let another woman in. Yeah, so what will happen is a man will continue to play this in his life with his partner, and he may even have the mother, again, the mother-son dynamic playing out with his partner as well. Something else that was really interesting with one of my clients is that I noticed that the mother was very much like always putting the sister first, and the conditioning we explored was that that women are more important and his needs come last, because the sister was always like, well, no, her needs are important. She's a woman. She's more important. These are the kind of things that we've said. And so, again, what will happen is that what was happening is he was pedestaling his partner to be like, oh, well, her needs, she's more important. Her needs are important. But underneath, feeling resentful, yeah, about it. And he would disconnect from her and pull away to try and get his own needs met, because this is the only way that I can. And then she would feel the impacts of that, and she would feel like this distance, and she would feel like there's no intimacy, and I just want more intimacy, but he wasn't available for that because of this pedestaling. Right? So this also leads into the next one, which is the unavailable mother. So this is when the mother wasn't available. Mother, maybe she wasn't present, maybe she's absent emotionally, so maybe she was there physically, but emotionally, she wasn't very emotional, she wasn't good at soothing, she wasn't good at being with the son's emotions or welcoming them. Maybe she's buried in her work, like really work focused. This can happen with a lot of single mums that have to provide, very much focused on, you know, doing what they have to do, which I totally get. But again, the pattern that can play out is a man can be then attract that in a woman, can attract that unavailable partner, an unavailable woman, because my mother's not, wasn't really available. So I attract women that aren't really available. Yeah, so, and again, you know, they can ask for what they need, yeah, because they don't want to push that person away, or, you know, my needs didn't get met in childhood for safety, for connection, for presence, for love, because my mother wasn't available. So, like, it's not safe for me to ask for what I need, so I have to meet my own needs. Yeah, so maybe they make their needs important, but they would never speak them to their partner. They never speak them because they're just not available for that. And maybe they will attract someone that isn't available for that, that doesn't want to meet their needs either. So, yeah, just interesting to be aware of, like, okay, what was going on in childhood that, and how am I recreating this? So the next one is this number five, the smothering mother. This is like similar to the surrogate partner. But this was someone I was working with who their mother was still smothering them as an adult. Yeah, so always in his business, always telling him what he should and shouldn't do. Didn't like his wife and was always trying to come between them. It's like that mother, it's kind of like something you see on a TV show where you've got that overbearing mother that's always up in their business telling them how they should raise their kids and what they should do. And what can happen is, their mother can be like, oh, this is my son, and still treat him like a little boy, like, oh, you know, and still thinks that she has to look after him, that, and thinks like, oh, he's just the bee's knees, he's amazing, and he's different, and he's special. And when I worked with this with my client, what was really sad was that this mother had just been like pedestaling him, but underneath that, he was really struggling, and he wasn't able to share that with his mother. Either because, you know, then she's going to overbear and like do all the things for me, and it's just like, and it can feel smothered, right? So sometimes in a relationship, a man who's been smothered can become more avoidant because it can be overwhelming for the system, but then might actually attract someone like that, or he can still have these things playing out between his mother and his partner and him. So what was happening in this dynamic is that he would continuing to favor the mother over his partner, and that created a lot of rift between him and his partner, because he was still in some way pedestaling his mother and idolizing his mum. Well, mother knows best, you know, she knows what's best for me. Yeah. And so when a mother is smothering like this, it's not giving the son an opportunity to make mistakes, to fend for himself, to learn for himself, and therefore it can create distrust in himself, but also not knowing what's best for him, yeah, always relying on like someone else to tell him what's best for his partner or his mother, to be like, well, what, and if the partner comes in and makes suggestions, or, well, you should do this, and what about this, and I think this would be great for you, then he will give his power away. He won't listen to his truth. He's like, oh, well, you know, obviously you know best, so I'm going to go with that. Yeah. So I just wanted to quickly jump in and let you know that we actually teach this work at both our Conscious Sexuality Mixed Gender Immersion and our practitioner training. This is where in the mixed gender immersion, we actually take men through the psychological separation from the mother. And in our practitioner training, we teach women how to actually take men through the full mother wound healing process, as well as the psychological separation. And what I've seen is this proven time and time again with the male clients that I've worked with, that it has drastic shifts in how they relate with women and how they show up for sex and intimacy. Is so much more open, so much more receptive, so much more confident. And I've had many men come back to me and say that this was the missing piece, yeah, and that they feel like they're a different person, and it's completely actually transformed their relationship, not only with their mothers, but also with the feminine in general. And I just really love that. I'm so excited that I now get to pass this on, teach other practitioners how to guide and facilitate this work. So if you are a man listening to this and you're curious and looking at going through this journey, then please reach out to me on Instagram at EJLoveOfficial. You could choose to do this work with us in our training or work with one of our practitioners that I will refer you to. And if you're a woman who is interested in guiding men through this work, then also reach out to me, and you can also apply through the show notes below for our practitioner training. So when a man has had a smothering mother, that he actually feels anger towards his mother for smothering, but he doesn't know how to express it. Yeah, so there's can be a lot of repressed anger that is going on for a man that's been smothered in his relationship with his mother, and then can also be playing out there with his partner, or the mother's kind of getting in the way of the relationship that he has with his partner. So then we have the narcissistic mother. So often what's happening here is that, and this is really interesting, so I had a client who had a narcissistic mother, and he was attracted to women who treated him badly, right? So he would find a lot of attraction. But if a woman started being nice to him, he would lose attraction. He'd be like, oh, I'm not attracted to her anymore. So I asked him what his relationship was with his mother was like, and he said that she was really nasty to him, and he would experience disrespect, humiliation, being ignored, not being heard, not being cared for, not receiving attention. And these were all the things that were happening in his relationships with women and what he was attracting. And then he wasn't attracted to women that were nice to him. He just didn't have that same level of attraction. And this is what happens, right? Is our brains choose what's familiar. And so we're always looking for that familiarity because we deem that that's safe. Yeah, our brain thinks, well, I didn't die in this scenario, so obviously it's safe. So I attracted again, and it can feel really awesome. It can feel really connective, and it can feel really loving. But actually, this is how we get people get into trauma bonds, right? When they're essentially bonding over things that have happened in childhood, and they're repeating that pattern. And it's creating a lot of chemicals in the brain also that keep them addicted to those patterns. So then we've got the unconsciously loyal son, right? So I find this one really interesting because there is, many men can have an unconscious loyalty to their mothers, and where they don't really allow in a woman or intimacy or relationship to like what they really want, because they feel loyal to their mothers and they actually feel guilty being with anyone else. Yeah, so this is what happens when a man has a very big place reserved in their heart for their mother. Yeah, there's no space for another woman. So they unconsciously feel like they would lose their mother or be cheating on her if they fully let another woman in, and they would never want to hurt their mother like that. Yeah, and this might be, they may have seen their father or men act like this, cheat on their mothers perhaps. So even they want a healthy, loving relationship, they will sabotage it and push it away. And this is where, if you're on the other side of that as a woman, you might find men pull away. Everything's going great, everything's going amazing, and then, they push it away. It's like, oh, can't let you too close, oh no, because that means I would have to let go of my mother and
lose the bond and the love of my mother, and I don't, that's not safe. I can't do that. Like, I've got this loyalty, right? So there are some men who are never fully able to commit or be emotionally available to a woman because their mother has still has such a big place in their heart. And these men are essentially married to their mums, right? And I mean, these men can be in a relationship, but sometimes they can end up turning their partner into acting like their mother or attracting a woman who plays the caretaker role, which is very similar. Okay, so I've got so much to share on this. This could have been two lives, if I'm honest. But I just wanted to get it all out. So I want to talk about sexual intimacy and premature ejaculation and how it can be linked to a man's relationship with his mother. I want to talk about the relationship between erectile problems and being emasculated. And I also want to talk about how men's kinks and fantasies and what porn they watch can actually come from unhealed mother wounds. So I've been talking a while. So what type of mothers do men with premature ejaculation tend to have? So often they'll have smothering, overbearing mothers, and most of them obviously won't want to repeat this experience. But they'll often be attracted to someone who's similar. And this creates a push-pull effect where he'll be initially attracted to a partner with similar personality traits to his mother, but will also despise these traits in her and as a result will want to push her away. Often premature ejaculation is about avoidance of intimacy. Yeah, so it is like, I want this intimacy, I want this connection, but also I'm terrified of it, I'm scared of it, and also, I'm scared that I might lose myself if I fully go there. Yeah. So, and I've seen this with erectile dysfunction too, is that that an avoidance of intimacy because I'm afraid of the consequences I've got associated with intimacy. So if I can't even get hard, then I don't have to experience intimacy, and therefore I don't get to have to hurt, betrayed, rejected, abandoned, etc. Yeah. So, but one of the main things with that can happen with premature ejaculation is that a man as a teenager, because he hasn't gone through sexual initiation and there's usually not a lot of conversation around sex and ejaculation with his mother, they often hide. They hide their masturbation, they hide their porn watching, they might have had a fear. They might have been caught by someone, a parental figure, a mother, or have a fear of being caught. And so this is why a lot of men will masturbate quickly. Sorry, that's why, yeah, as a ch and when they're younger, related to, I don't want to get caught, right? So some men can still be have this drilled in that it's not safe to be seen in my pleasure and my sexuality and my desire, therefore I ejaculate quickly, yeah, because otherwise I might get shamed, I might feel guilty, all those things. And so that can be happening. And I've heard a lot of men say to me, in my work, is that, I can masturbate. When I masturbate, I can last a long time, but as soon as I'm with a woman, I come quickly. And that is often related to this, is like whatever the judgments they might feel that someone might have on them, or the fear that there is around their own pleasure, or around, being really intimate with someone and really being seen. So in a way, their body is like essentially protecting them. So I want to just talk about erectile problems, and there's a common dynamic that I've seen where erectile dysfunction is tied in with emasculation. And I was working with this one client who actually he wanted to start dating again, but he was like, "Oh, but my dick doesn't work." In his words, he's like, "It's not working properly, so I'm scared to date. I'm scared to even put myself out there." And what we explored was that his last partner, there was a lot of emasculation and there was some betrayal. And then we looked at the relationship with his mother, same thing. She was heavily critical and emasculated him. And what can happen is because a man's penis is connected to his manhood, right? This is my manhood. And he doesn't feel like a man, he's emasculated, then on a subconscious level, it starts to like not work properly, right? And also what can be happening though is it can also be a form of protection. So consciously, I want to date, I want to be intimate, I want to be intimate with my partner. Subconsciously, it's like, if I fully go get intimate with this person, I'm going to get betrayed, I'm going to get rejected, I'm going to get hurt, I'm going to lose myself, all these things. So the body is in a way protecting from all those consequences. So you have to work on those underlying fears as well around what are my deeper fears of intimacy? What do I perceive? What are the consequences I have that might happen if I fully get intimate with this person? And, you know, having sex with someone is one of the most intimate things, if not the most intimate thing we can do on a physical and sexual level. So, like, it sounds interesting, right, when we say, like, oh, you know, your sexual problems can be linked to mother wounds, but really they can be. And I find this stuff fascinating. And the thing that I've more found fascinating recently is, and myself and my business partner, Anna, who I run the Conscious Sexuality Trainings with, we've been talking a lot about this. And we teach this, we'll be teaching this in our next mixed gender training. And what's really fascinating is that our brain is always looking to complete what feels incomplete in childhood. We're looking for a different ending where we feel loved, accepted, and safe. So sometimes when men are watching porn, they're actually trying to find that ending. They're unconsciously trying to heal their trauma. They're looking at something. And so what I would say is, be men watching this, and even women, be curious about what porn you're watching and what your fantasies are. And explore, like, what is it that I'm trying to get from this? I have a theory. I have a theory with a lot of the threesome stuff and the cuckolding and things like that, that is related. Yeah. And, you know, whether it's, you know, wanting to get love from women that you didn't get as a child, or whether you're you're witnessing things happening and you're watching things happening, trying to get, for example, it might be like watching a woman really be in her power, because maybe that was not what your mother was like, or maybe she was like that, or what. Like, it's just like, just be curious. And there are things that myself and Anna have seen in our work. She's been working in the BDSM field for many, like 30 plus years, of these dynamics, these things, these unhealed things that happen in childhood, that people are coming with these things they want to explore, and it's like related to what's happened in childhood. Now, here's the thing. A lot of people are trying to heal it unconsciously, like watching porn, for example. It's an unconscious way. Whereas the work we're doing, we are actually looking at what are these things and how can we work with this consciously? How can we create scenes and experiences and role plays and BDSM scenes in a way that we're actually working with what it is, and we're creating a new ending where you do feel loved, accepted, and safe, but in a healthy way, in a conscious way. So the questioning is like, when with our sexual fantasies, kinks, and the watching of porn, it's like being curious about what is it that, where does this come from? And could this be related to my childhood? Could this be related in some way that I'm trying to get a different ending, or I'm repeating something that happened? And what can I do? How can I do this in a healthy, conscious way? And maybe it is going to see a professional and creating a dynamic. One of the things that one of my coaches suggested to me, so I have a wounding around other women, where I've always been with men that have either cheated on me with another woman or have jumped into another relationship very quickly. And this is childhood stuff related to my parents, and essentially my mum being the other woman in my brain, yeah, that my dad is choosing her over me, right? So a way that I can work with this, and I'm doing lots of different healing, working with a trauma therapist, is to actually have create a scene, like a role play, where I'm with a couple where I am, they're welcoming me in and including me, and I'm feeling loved, as much loved, yeah? So as a way to, like, I'm not, no one is not being chosen here, right? No one is not being chosen. I'm being fully chosen. I'm being chosen as a family unit, right? We're being chosen. Everyone's being loved and accepted. Yeah, so there's things that obviously happened in my childhood somewhere, some of them I know, some of them I don't, and you don't need to know, that have said that I'm not chosen by a man fully. Yeah, there's always someone else there, right? And obviously as a child, like, I've interpreted that as not being chosen, even though it was interesting because my dad loved me so much and he was a beautiful, amazing dad. But there are still pieces, right, that even if we have that loving relationship, that things that we can see or things that happen that we interpret in a certain way, right? And it can be like the smallest little thing. So I encourage you to be curious about that. And if you are interested in exploring more of this, we are going to be going through this at our mixed gender immersion, our conscious sexuality immersion. And that is for men as well. And we will be taking men through the psychological separation from the mother. So I created a process through all this work that supports men to go through the missing psychological separation. So I want to speak to this because this is the missing piece. This is the big thing that I feel will change everything, that I've seen change everything, right? So what happens is from the age of 14 to 17 is when a man goes from boy psychology to man psychology, right? It goes through this. And in society, we used to have initiation. In tribal culture, we used to have initiation rituals, right? Where men, essentially, what would happen, the first thing, the very first thing that would happen is the psychological separation from the mother. The boys would be pulled away, the uncles would take them away, and the next step is the uncles will mentor them and guide them, help them become the man that they are. The father also, they have to go separation from father as well. So separation from mother, separation from father, then uncles, mentoring. Then they get sexually initiated and they meet the maidens. Some of them, in some cultures, they go through priestess. They initiated by priestess and dakinis to work and learn how to work with their sexual energy, learning how to cultivate their sexual energy in really healthy ways. Now we don't have that. Men are turning to porn because their testosterone increases massively and they don't know what to do with this energy. And again, they're seeking the maidens, right? They're seeking to find the maidens to be sexually initiated, and they're finding on things like porn, strip clubs, etc. Yeah, instead of actually going through this proper initiation process. So what happens is that if men do not go through the psychological separation, they are still attached to their mothers. Yeah, and they're still often bonded with their fathers. And they learn not to really trust themselves. Yeah, so the trust piece is about male mentorship, really. So this is why I think, so I am still an advocate for men's work. However, I cannot tell you how many people I've spoken to, even like in the last few years, like men that have done years and years and years and years of men work and are struggling, and I said this on the last live, are struggling in their relationships with women, it's still feeling like this way, and they're like, oh, I've done so much men's work. It's like, because you've missed a step, right? You've missed the step where the psychological separation from the mother and then the healthy initiation with the maidens, yeah? And so really important that men are also doing this work. Yes, go do your men's work. These are the male mentors. These are the uncles that you need. But what I would say also is a lot of the men that you're being mentored by have not been through this initiation properly. They haven't gone through the psychological separation from the mother. So, you know, this is why, like, there are leaders in these men's work that I know have not gone through this, because I've experienced the other side of it. And it's not to make them wrong, right? Because this is not about, oh my God, they haven't done this at all. It's like, it's just that the awareness isn't out there. Like, there's, it needs to be, we need to have awareness of this. And this is why I'm doing this live. We need to have awareness because, you know, for me, being on the other side of this has been deeply painful, deeply, deeply, deeply painful, deeply painful. And it's made me passionate of, like, this work is so important because I want men and women to thrive in their relationships. And I want women to feel safe with men, and I want men to know who they are, to really know who they are. And I was at a festival recently, and I got the pleasure of sitting outside a men's circle, hear them share some of their vulnerabilities. And the most common thing that was said in that circle was, I don't really know who I am. And there were men in their 50s and their 60s saying this. Yeah, at that age, I don't really know who I am. And this is why. This is why. Yeah? So, separation from the mother implies that he's no longer ultimately dependent on her. And there are things that happen simultaneously when he separates from the mother. Is he goes on a search for his own vision, his personal powers, and his talents. He gets unforgettable lessons in his responsibility, personal, family, and tribal responsibility. And he gets to experiment with lovers and discover who he is as a sexual being. Yeah, he learns to accept lifelong rituals that will bring intimacy with himself and his spiritual center, with his soul. He will negotiate new and empowering boundaries with the feminine. And he will develop a commitment to others and to earth. Right? So what I just shared, those little pieces around initiation, actually come from a book called, I'm going to have to look it up again. It's not Breaking the Mother-Son Dynamic. That's another book, Breaking the Mother-Son Dynamic, which is great, highly recommend. I think it's How Men's Relationship with Their Mothers Affect All Relationships with Women. I'll go put it in the comments. But basically, if a man is not initiated away from mum into the world of men, woman will still seem like mother to him, even late in life. Yeah. Without a healthy initiation, a grown man is not prepared fully for the realities of life. And will often remain like an adolescent, especially in modes of intimacy. Yeah, so the approach of that is to experiment rather than to commit. Yeah, so, yeah. Mm. So, where to from here, what to do? Well, I was thinking about going through my process. I have a class to get to, so just see how much I can go through here. Basically, here's what needs to happen. You need to process any anger towards the mother, right? That's really important. Any anger, resentment, even if you're like, oh, my relationship with my mom was great, there will be unprocessed anger because of that, whatever's going on deep down, that unconscious loyalty. Doing inner mother work, like reparenting yourself, getting to know your own inner mother, like creating that relationship. Going through what I call the psychological separation. Also, some men I'll take through the divorce the mother ceremony, which is really powerful. And marry themselves. Like, they divorce the mother and then they marry themselves. I did that recently with a guy from America. It was amazing. Loved it. Looking at, you know, any complaints, resentments, frustrations around the mother and the woman in their lives. And essentially what I think also is important is doing trauma healing and somatic work. Yeah. And healing the relationship with the feminine, and looking at boundaries, needs, all these ways of communicating. Like, there's a lot, there's a whole journey to go on. It's a big journey. It's a big, deep journey, and it will change and transform your relationship with a woman forever. This, if you want healthy, loving, empowering relationships with women, lots of intimacy, respect, trust, heal your relationship with your mother. Like, that is the piece. It is the piece. Okay. And the psychological separation, which I don't, oh, the piece I want to talk about was the woman's role in a man's initiation. So not the mother, not the lovers, a woman, a practitioner, a priestess. So priestesses, and this is, we train women in this in our practitioner training, is to help a man become sexually initiated, to learn how to manage and work with his sexual energy, to open up, to work with it in a healthy way. Yeah, so connecting his sex center to his heart and really getting really connected, learning how to work with his levels of testosterone, how to get activated, how to channel his sexual energy, his life force into his purpose and feel really empowered and confident. This is really what these priestesses and practitioners do. If you want to work with someone, let me know. I don't do this work anymore. I did for many, many years, and it was incredibly powerful. But I train practitioners now. This is what we do, our conscious sexuality experience practitioner training. So if you would like a referral, let me know. Reach out, send me a message if you would like someone to guide you through that. And the second thing is that the psychological separation is something that we will be doing at our mixed gender, our conscious sexuality immersion, which is mixed gender, which is coming up soon. And if you are interested in going through this, then I would highly recommend to be there. Doing in a group with other men and women is going to be really powerful, but we will have women holding and we'll be doing like role plays and things who will hold the energy of your mother, and you will get to go through that separation. So that can be really powerful. So one of the reasons I feel like this is not being taught in men's, a lot of men's work, and maybe, I don't know many, but if there is, I'm sure there is, right? But the reason I think is because I think we as women have the gift. There is a reason men came to work with me on their mother wound. There's a reason, because I'm a woman and I'm safe. Yeah, and I can hold that presence and safety for them to get a new experience, an imprint of a mother, a new imprint. And I will guide them in a way to discover their inner mother by the way that I guide that mother energy. So they can get an imprint of what it is like to receive nurturing. And then rather than being dependent on me for that, they learn how to do this for themselves. Yeah, and so I feel like there's something that a woman gives a man that a man, other men just can't give him in the same way. And so I feel like this is the piece, right? And so I'm not saying men's work, these men's groups need to go and teach mother wound stuff. I am actually saying that it's through the woman that the men get this healing. Not the partners, not the mothers, but practitioners, other women, where they're not creating codependency. Yeah, I have very good boundaries with my clients. There's no codependency with me mothering any of my clients. Yeah, so they're learning how to get that safe feminine energy without that codependency.
So if you are a woman listening to this that is interested in actually taking men through this process, absolutely love to hear from you and have you apply to our conscious sexuality experience practitioner training and get to learn this proven process of helping men through this and really holding that safe, healthy space so men can heal their mother wound and go through that separation and really ultimately be the men that they're here to be and have the deeply loving, healthy relationships with women that I really ultimately want all men to be able to have an experience. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Deep Sexy Play. If you're ready to get sexy, then I have a playbook full of intimate questions, sexy games, and deep connection practices, which you can get at deepsexyplay.com. If this episode stimulated your mind, I invite you to like and follow the podcast. And if you're feeling extra sexy or got something out of this episode, then I would love to receive and read your review.
To connect with me and my listeners, you're welcome to join my free, private, deep, sexy play Facebook group. You can also follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at EJLoveOfficial, where you'll also find my latest offerings and ways to work with me. All these links are in the show notes. I hope you'll be back for more deep, sexy play.